In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. But it hasn't always been like this. Thrones and kings and crowns and alleluias. For at the beginning, the Hebrew people ran away from the king, Pharaoh of Egypt. Rather, they followed the presence of God by day and night, under Moses and then Joshua, as sheep following a shepherd. And by night, he led them like a pillar of fire, and by day as a cloud. Their God then was liberator, yes, provider of manna and fresh water, yes, he was lawgiver, yes. But king, he was not. And the change came when they had settled in their new land, when they looked at the tribes and the nations around them. Kings led armies. Kings won wars. They wanted one. And the prophet Samuel warned the Hebrews that kings would be a bad idea. Simply jumping on the bandwagon with surrounding nations. They had kings, so why not Israel? You watch out, said Samuel. Kings will rule, but they will also enslave. They will tax, they will conscript. You will rue the day you ever asked for a king. So it turned out, Saul, the first king, was not a success. And so the people asked for a second chance, and it was given when the same prophet Samuel was sent to the house of a man from Bethlehem called Jesse. And Jesse's youngest son, David, was anointed as Israel's second king. But he was following the flock. David was a shepherd. The fact David was a shepherd harked back to that very beginning, to the pastoral nomadic origins of the Hebrew people. It resonated with their history. Under Moses, they had been shepherded out of Egypt, fugitives from a king, and again shepherded across the waters of Jordan into the promised land. The two strands of governance, old king and new shepherd, were to continue in tension over the centuries. If kings failed, they were denounced in the Book of Kings as having departed from the ways of David, the shepherd king. Ezekiel even switches words, and when the kings have failed, he says there has been a fall down in shepherding rather than in kingship, for to him the fusion that is still a few centuries off is beginning already. By the time of Jesus, King Herod the Great was decidedly twitchy when he found the wise men asking for a king, for a child born to be king. And even more so when his advisers quoted from the book of Micah, out of you, Bethlehem, what again, Bethlehem, shall come a king who shall shepherd my people Israel. Jesus himself avoided the idea of kingship on any political model. When they wanted to make him king, He passed through them and went his way. His kingdom, he said, was not of this world. He chose the shepherding images of Good Shepherd and the shepherd looking for a lost sheep. And he spoke of the lost sheep of Israel. But as he approached his end, standing before the council of his own leaders, Jesus did look forward to a triumph, yes, and a coming home to the right hand of the power of God. But when he was asked, "Are you a king then?" he said, "The words are yours." And the church took hold of that image, combining it with with its own interpretation of Jesus' death as a sacrifice, and came up with the image in the book of Revelation of the Lamb of God from the flock, seated upon the throne of the King of Heaven. The images there of shepherd and king fuse into one, and so through one face of the great prism of the Godhead has the person of Jesus come down to us. And what of this for us? Occasionally we long for someone else to take over and to do the directing. Our life can be so busy, so complicated. And at such times, we can take refuge in the image of Christ as King, triumphant, victorious, when all we seem to find in ourselves is failure and weakness. And in particular, when we are bereaved and lose a loved one, we are glad of the thought that Jesus had been powerful enough to be king over death itself. And at other times, we feel as though we can stand on our own feet, but frequently get it wrong and go wandering off. And it is comforting then to know that there is a shepherd who will seek us out time and time again and bring us home. The tension between king and shepherd still remains, but in either guise, God speaks and acts. He will rule in our life if we surrender him the kingship there, or he will direct and check our foolishness when we need a good shepherd. He will search us out and bring us home. In just over a month at Christmas, the world will welcome once more the King, born to shepherd his people, and those two roles will be fused together. According to our need, he leaves us free to call upon him, whether as Jesus the shepherd or Jesus as king. And calling on him in the one image today still leaves us free to call on the other tomorrow. For this is a Savior who, whether as shepherd or king, desires first and foremost to meet our every need. Let us pray. Eternal God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where Christ is gone before, and where with you and the Holy Spirit he is worshipped and glorified, now and forever. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make us complete in everything good, so that we may do his will, working among us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us join together in the grace. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.
We sing hymn 172, during which a collection will be taken.
Christ the King, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side and guide you in the ways of truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.